Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show.
Mm.
We were joined...
in the studio by Jake Lambert, who's a brilliant comedian, Paul.
Comedian. He had a little accident on the way in,
didn't he?
Yeah.
He did.
Not that sort of accident, but, you know, wet himself.
Well, we don't know. Well, maybe he was covering that up.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's what he did, the old trick.
Yeah, deflection technique. Maybe that's what it was. Anyway, you'll hear all that. Danny Cowley came in, former Lincoln, Huddersfield and Portsmouth manager.
Yeah,
talking about life on the outside.
Really interesting.
Yeah, interesting guy.
Yeah.
Been sort of, him and his brother Danny done great in management. They've been 9 months out looking to get back in.
Yeah, I think they will
talking
soon.
About his previous career and his
getting towards
club.
Christmas, people get sacked, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know.
Every cloud.
Well, they
that.
Do, though, don't they?
Rod Woodward joined us. We looked ahead to Wales against Turkey this evening.
He did Wales, and he knocked. Though he didn't knock the lock. He did the combination lock.
He played celebrity combination lock. So that should keep you going. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Paul. I wanted to kick off just by telling you something I sing nearly every morning at the moment, and I didn't know if you or the listeners had a similar experience and wanted to call us on 03717223344 and sing their own versions. The best granola I've found, Paul, that I have for my breakfast is the Lidl. Lidl Super Nutty Granola.
You are.
And I sing every morning, super, super nut, super, super nut.
I join in.
Super, super nut, super nutty granola.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
So I didn't know if anyone sang football songs to everyday inanimate objects.
Does your 8-year-old daughter at that point say, grow up?
I'm trying to get her to join in.
Does she like it?
She just sort of raised her eyebrows.
Shut up, Dad. Yeah.
So Super Nutty Granola
is
the song I sing.
That's interesting. If you sing, because people do, they sing football songs don't they?
Inanimate objects.
Yeah.
Or their dog. Right.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever, you know.
Yeah. So in what context do they sing a football song much like Charlie's
Super Nutty Granola?
Yeah.
Super Nutty Granola.
Yeah. And then soup. Now, that's enough, Charlie. Soup. That's it. Does it half an hour?
There we are. If you want to ring in with them, I thought they could sing them down the phone to us at 3717 22334.
Maybe we'll have to try and guess the song that goes with it.
Yeah, that'd be
nice. That might be
nice.
That's
a good idea.
Once you've told us what it is you sing to. Talksport.com. Well, we'll see if that's a rich seam or not.
See if that turns up or not.
03717 22334. Talksport.com/H&J. You can text to 81089 or tweet to TSH&J. Quite taken with the story today. You're like this, Charlie, as a fisherman.
Oh, yeah.
Fisher person.
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
Fisher them. Angling Direct is selling £20 advent calendars with 24 days of fishing tackle behind the doors.
Oh, lovely hooks.
We're going to get one for our old mate, Nigel Botherway, haven't
lovely.
We? We've had him enough over the years on Clips of the Week, so at least we can do £20 and have a whip round. But do you want to see it?
Maggots? Any maggots in there?
No.
Day four, no gentle. Worms on day five?
Angling Direct Advent Calendar 2023.
Do they want to send us one?
Let me see what it says on the Angling Direct. Step into the festive season with the Angling Direct Advent Calendar, a treasure trove meticulously curated for the devoted angler.
Yeah, lovely, nice, lovely, yeah.
An exclusive assembly of quality fishing tackle awaits behind each of the 24 doors, ensuring that every day unveils a new surprise to enhance your angling experience.
Oh, very nice,
this is all very good. Okay, do you want to know what's in it?
Yeah, cool.
On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me some pellet hooks to nylon maximises bait presentation.
Oh, lovely. Do you know what that means, Paul? So that's so the bait sits up nicely.
Nicely
on the, so the bait sits up, the carp goes down, he tries to get the boiler, whatever's on the
end. I won't give you all 24 days, but you get a waggler on one of the days, waggler float adapters. You get some chod rigs. Chod rig.
Yeah,
you get a swivel pack. And this is all Spanish to me, I'm afraid. You get a carp specimen bobbin.
Oh,
brackets,
yeah.
Blue.
Oh, very nice.
You get some. You get a jig headset. That sounds quite nice. You get a pipe snap tackle.
Oh, wow.
You get soft bait Texas lure rig. In one. You won't go far wrong with these feeder float stops. Yeah. We had a bit of a mad moment yesterday. I don't know if this is for on air or not. We had this idea that lots and lots of famous people through history would go on Bullseye. Because there was an old Bullseye on Challenge being interviewed by Jim Bowen in the style that Jim would do it.
Yeah.
And with a non-darts player, he's called Boutros Ghali. Boutros, lovely to meet you. Hello, Jim. Yeah. What do you do? I'm Secretary General United. Oh, that must be a fascinating job. Do you have any interests outside of that? You know, just... Jimmy, wouldn't dwell too long on that.
I see, Henry, you've been married 8 times. Divorced. You've divorced from the beheaded super smashing.
So beheaded, did you say?
Yeah, smashing.
I said, well, at least one of them survived. Yeah, that's where we're... Anyway, let's get on with the game. You're the non-darts player, Henry. It's anyway, if you want to go down that road, I don't see why you should. This is a sports station, good sake. Let's do that. What else we got for you? Oh, yeah, the Advent calendar.
Lovely.
We just wondered if there was a Talk Sport Advent calendar.
What a lovely idea.
I mean, we all kick off with breakfast. Alan, there'd be a little miniature behind it.
Yeah, a little.
Just an empty miniature. Alan's contribution. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be left licking the lid. That's all you've got left.
A sniff of the cork.
Alan, you were supposed to... I know. I supplied them, but something happened on the way. So, okay, well, do let us know. What would be in the TalkSport Advent calendar? Apparently, Lewis, the West Ham fans, sings, "They're still on the side. They're still on the side.
Your dirty dishes, they're still on the side." So we started a bit low there, Paul.
Thank you, Lewis. I did.
Very nice.
It's always difficult, isn't it, knowing which key to go in. My missus is a paramedic, so I often sing to her, "You're going home in a Yorkshire ambulance," says John Boy, the Huddersfield fan.
It's an old school chant. I haven't heard that for a while.
Football chants out of context. Please let us know your stories. 03717223344, talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. I can see on our screens on Sky News currently chatting is our old mate, Andy Brassel.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
Andy Brassel received a message from one of our production team
the other day, from one of our production team, which
was destined for somebody
Someone else.
Andy thought, he's a happily married man. He didn't know what was happening,
but, you know, it's all very innocent.
Off the back of the conversation we had with one of our production team. Our producer was telling us these sort of things can happen. His dad once sent a message, I believe destined for John's mum, which went to his golf coach, that said, "Oh, I've got us 2 tickets for the theatre." So you can imagine being the golf coach and you're thinking, well, what is it? Is it
that's
like
nice,
they've done Tin Cup the Musical or something?
Yeah,
oh, that's,
to be honest.
Oh, that's nice. What night? Imagine that.
What's it for?
Not until the golf coach is thinking, well, I didn't think we had that kind of relationship. I mean, I like fella, but I think an hour a week working on his swing is enough. I
don't want to turn your right hand over a bit.
I'm going to spend a whole eggy evening with him at the theatre. And then, of course, he said, so if you've had, as Stuart would say, humourable messages that were misdirected, we'd love to hear your stories.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, Hawksby, Charlie Baker here on Talk Sport.
Jacobs. Just talking all over the
news. Yeah, yeah. Everyone else. He came crashing into the news. Now he's knocked his water over. He's on fire.
He's having a nightmare.
There's no expensive broadcasting equipment in here, Jake.
I just feel... his entire glass of water just gone over there.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe they gave it to me and let me come in with it.
It's not gone over the equipment. The producer's come in with paper
it's
towels.
It's gone down for that bit
he's,
as well.
He's found his level, the producer, isn't he? I've never seen a man move so quickly with paper towels. Look at that.
I'm so sorry. I couldn't believe
there's smoke coming out of this screen, John. Can you...
The thing is, Jake isn't that sort of comic. He doesn't really
do a lot of physical stuff in the act.
Nothing physically or anything.
It's like working with Jack Tatty, isn't it?
He's just all words.
Holding that balloon, pretending he's up against the wall.
I was thirsty as well.
There we are.
Oh, yeah, that's the most important thing. Never mind £500,000 there for broadcaster. Oh, I've got a bit of a dry throat. Well, Jake Lambert joins us for the last time in the talk show. Good afternoon, Jake.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Yeah, all right, after a couple of minutes ago. Jake's on tour, it's his first national tour.
Yeah.
I don't like this. The Telegraph, Jake, have described you as a joke machine.
That's very nice.
With AI, careful what you wish for. Yeah. Because you could be out of work. Well,
If anyone's just the AI of comedy, it's Jake, I tell you.
Just push a wheelie bin on saying, hello, mate, what's your name, where you're from, what do you do?
Mate, you've seen my act.
Trying to sell a tour here.
But that's nice, isn't it, being called a joke machine or not?
Oh, I don't know, I thought it was. Then you said all that. Maybe not.
It's a doomsday scenario.
It is very nice. If I'm a joke machine, probably not best to spill water around me.
Jake, your route in's really interesting, actually, Jake, isn't it? Because you were big on Twitter. You got big on Twitter for writing, like when Twitter sort of first became hugely
popular.
When it was good and nice, yeah. You wrote loads of, Little Lost Lad on Twitter. Got really, and then you did it in the live arena, didn't you?
Yeah, then I moved on to, so what was that sealed machine? I was off on Twitter, online, went offline, on stage. That worked.
Yeah.
Kept doing it. Now I'm not on Twitter. I've turned my back on it. Now I just don't use it at all. I'm on Instagram now.
Were you already, when you first started doing that stuff online, had you already done some stand-up to a live audience?
No, never. No, I did it for about 2 years on Twitter, and then some comedians, I pointed at Charlie, but not Charlie, some comedians messaged me asking if they could buy the jokes off me.
Wow.
Right.
But I was like, I might as well just do this myself then.
So
I did. And then it worked.
How much do you charge for a joke? That's the question.
Well, now I know what people charge, and I know what they were trying to pay me, so I made the right decision by doing it myself.
There was a fellow, Bob Monkhouse, God rest his soul, used to write for Max Miller, the famous old musical, the biggest comedy stars of his time. And he would just stand at the stage door, and as Max Miller was leaving the theatre, he'd sort of shout the joke out to him. He'd say, "Yeah, not bad, son."
And he'd
give him like a couple of bob for the joke.
That's like the original Twitter. Before Twitter, that's all you had to do, just shout them on the street.
Twitter live.
And he said to him one day, "Give me 10 more like that, and I'll give you folding money." So, I mean, there is a kind of, there's a long line of this sort of thing going on. So you thought, well, hang on, rather than sell them to them, I'll just go up there and do them myself.
Yeah, I'll do them for no money in London in pubs then eventually hope that people will just pay me.
That's the best way to get into it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Go and do 200 gigs and then find out if you're any good at it.
Yeah, that's basically what happens, isn't it? And then when you go to these open mic gigs, someone else there will run their own gig and they say, can you come and do that?
Yeah.
And then every time you do a gig, you get given another gig. And then those gigs get slightly bigger. And then eventually, hopefully, you quit your job and you start doing it full time.
But
now
you're in a really interesting position, I think, in your career, because you support Michael McIntyre, don't you?
I do, yeah.
So if you follow Jake on Instagram, he'll often be in Dubai or in like a massive gig in New York, you know, supporting Michael somewhere around the world.
I get about, yeah.
And then the next day you'll be in front of 50, he'll fly home and he'll be in front of 50 people in a club gig somewhere. I mean,
I'll do a bit of everything. Keep me grounded.
How do you play them differently, Jake?
Oh, I learnt that the hard way. We did Australia for 2 weeks and it was like the Kudos Arena in Sydney, I think it's like 15,000 people or something. Did that twice. It was amazing. We were in Melbourne, Brisbane, all over. I came home, my first gig was to about 60 people.
Wow.
And I definitely walked onto that stage with the wrong energy.
Hi.
They were literally less than what was the front row of the last gig I did.
Wow.
And I could have learnt their names while I was up there. And I definitely played it like they were, you know, when you play an arena, the lights are on you, so you can't see. So they say, don't worry, you won't be able to see anything. But what you can see is like the lights of like the doors or the fire exits or people taking photos. So it looks like you're staring at like a massive spaceship. It's just black with these lights. You go, that's actually worse.
Wow.
And then you go to, you know, back to the normal gig for me. And you have to learn to actually make it a bit more less. It actually feels quite lonely when you're on those massive stages.
Sure, yeah.
Because you're quite far from the audience and the stage is huge. And then you're on three screens behind you. So you become really aware of like your facial expression or like, obviously you have to brush your teeth before you go on. Stuff
yeah,
like
that. You've got nice teeth, Jake.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you. If you want to see them live, it's Jake Mallet.
Yeah, yeah. Go and see Jake.
Comedy.com.
So you are. You're going on your big tour.
Yeah.
And
over the place.
Smaller venues than Michael.
Next April.
Is that when it starts?
I thought it was March.
Nice.
But no, March 27th. I do apologise. No. Cardiff Glee, March 27th. And then you've got a 2-week break to take stock.
See how that went.
And then you hit the road hard after that, right around the country.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing it whilst I'm also with Michael. So
we're
both sort of touring at the same time.
Okay.
Not a direct rival, but I'm supporting him on his, and then I'll go and do mine. So, you know, I make my money with Michael, and then I go and lose money at my own.
No, but you're doing what you're also with your Instagram and stuff. You're,
yes.
You're sort of at the forefront technologically again.
Go on.
Which is when you're doing these things where you sort of talk to the camera about different things that you've noticed.
Yeah, I just sort of walk around the park and then I just put a thought out there and somehow people like it. So I don't actually look at the camera because I can't. I look where I'm going, have the camera facing at me.
Yeah.
Because I find it weird to look, because people end up, you just look at yourself. So I made the decision to not look at myself, look where I'm going, and I just walk around the park and then I just come up with a thought. And people seem to like it.
Yeah, so comedians are always trying to build their audience. You seem to be at the forefront of that.
Very nice.
Do you study that, where that's going? Do you study those technological advances?
No, it's all luck and laziness, I think. Because sometimes there's gigs you get offered in... I was going to name a place, but last time I was here, I think I named a place and then end up gigging there 2 weeks later.
Oh, right.
It was Nottingham. But sometimes you can either go and do these gigs and maybe they're not as well paid or it's quite far, or I could just sort of go for a walk around my park, film a video, put that out and hope that it sells some tickets to my tour show.
It's
better.
Yeah, yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
And I get to just be at home
in the
evening.
It's not lazy, it's clever.
Just going back to something you said earlier on, that's a big difference between being funny online, coming up with gags, and then getting in front of an audience and selling them. You
know, yeah.
Was there ever a point you think, I don't think I'm cut out for this, maybe I should. Or did you feel from day one that you were the person that did it and you felt that confidence to do that? Because it's a fairly terrifying thought for a lot of people, including me.
Yeah, well, I think actually... I never tend to overthink anything. Not sure that comes across. But I wanted to write and direct short films, comedy films.
Yeah.
But writing those takes ages. And then getting them all made, getting the crew together, editing everything takes a long time. But if you just go onto stage and tell the story you want to tell, it doesn't cost anything.
No.
And you just get to go and do it. And it takes, you know, that day's work.
Yeah.
So... it was just sort of fell into it and then kept going.
Yeah, the immediacy. So
it was all lucky.
You say touring with Michael McIntyre.
Yeah.
He's pretty, very well connected at Tottenham.
Oh, yes.
Michael.
Lovely segue. I've
How you got the gig?
Spurs mafia.
Give him Paul's number.
I often see him sitting up in the director's box.
Yeah, yeah. I've been in there.
Yeah, have you? Oh, you've gone along as a guest, have you?
Yeah, yeah.
With Daniel and the gang.
I was there when it was the big Tottenham Arsenal game when we beat them and went above them.
Oh, the 3-0.
Yes, lovely. Mm. Yeah, I was there for that game. It was incredible. So I've been in there. They've let me in sometimes.
Did you hire one of those long black overcoats or did he have a spare one? You haven't got one in your wardrobe. That's what you need to wear.
It's very hard because, you know, especially when it's someone like the chairman, there's sometimes you have opinions on these people.
Yeah.
And then you quickly crumble when you're face to face with them. And you just also, go, thank you for having me.
You learn not to just get involved in anything the club.
You didn't start saying, "Oi,
no,
didn't we sign?" Because you are a Tottenham fan. Aren't you?
Yeah. So now I just keep quiet and just thanks for having me and thanks for the cheese and wine.
What do you prefer? Yeah. Do you prefer it at the top table or do you like slamming it? Or is that a silly question?
It's
a different experience, isn't it? In the director's box, you can't quite cut loose. You can't start. You know, in the Arsenal game, you can't start giving Rob Holding a send off as he after that red card.
Yeah.
Cheerio. Yeah. Sorry, Daniel.
Sack the board. Yeah.
But there's certain things you can't do when you're at the top table.
Definitely. Right? But then that game got so crazy
that
I sort of caught myself when I think the third goal went in, sort of really jumping around and punching the air. And I thought, I hope that's not picked up on Sky.
Mikel Arteta still puts it on the dressing room wall before every game. Jake Lambert, look at him. He's loving it. Daniel Levy's mate and he's dancing on our grave. Stick it to him next time. So,
brilliant.
The Sunshine Kid, the show is called.
Yeah, it is called that. Yeah.
What do you think? All over the country.
What do you think of that name? And it's going to go international soon, but I don't know if that really helps.
Although it'd be desperate when you're a bit older if you're still
If you're still trained off in your 60.
Well, I thought that. The reason I went for it is because, like, Bill Clinton was, like, the comeback kid, wasn't he? He was that when he was in his 40s.
Yeah.
So I think
you can still
work.
You can still get away with that.
The Cincinnati kids.
Yeah.
Cisco kids.
Other kids.
There's other
available.
Kids.
There are kids. Yeah. A lot of kids available.
Billy the Kid, who's that?
About that?
Billy.
Billy the Kid. They're all cowboys.
Come on, let's have your favourite kids. Come on, let's have. That's top of your top 10 kids.
Dave Kidd, of course.
Dave Kidd from The Sun, get the idea of that. lovely to see you, Jake. Thank you very much for coming in,
Jake.
And sorry about the water.
Well, I said the tour, right. I mean, obviously, the first couple of weeks of the tour, you'd be paying for this equipment. so it's a bit of a lost leader for you. But, good to see you. Best luck with the tour.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
JakeLambert.com.
Yeah, Jake, no, Jake Lambert
comedy.com.
He does that on purpose.
Unbelievable. He does it on purpose.
He does it on purpose. So, he wants to sell his tickets. He doesn't want you selling your tickets.
CharlieBakerComedy.com.
That's it.
That's where you'll find the tickets.
Thank you, Jake. All the best.
Oh, cheers. Thank you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon. It's Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker here on Talk Sport, where in the second hour, Danny Cowley will be popping in to see us.
Very nice. I'm excited about that, actually.
Manager, of course, at Lincoln City, Huddersfield Town, and more recently Portsmouth.
Yes.
Was, I think, had the prospect of the Bradford job last week.
And I would say linked to every lower league job ever, and some upper league jobs.
Yeah, that's right. So, but I think keen to get back in after what was it, January?
I think he left
Pompey. So we'll talk to Danny about that and the career so far. Take any questions you have. Talksport.com. Text 81089. Tweet TSH and J. Later on we're going to be talking about Port Vale. Some comments. So let's be honest. It was Robbie Williams, wasn't it? Robbie was over in the States, and it's been reported he said a few things that kind of hinted that we could maybe have another Wrexham on our hands.
I think he's always been connected to
it.
And I think I think there was a time when they were really in trouble, and I think he may have put a few quid in then. I don't know, but you know.
Yeah, he's been inspired by the Wrexham story.
I can imagine,
So maybe, who knows?
Has he ever been to Torquay, Paul, Robbie Williams?
Oh, yeah, you'd like him.
Would he like to be inspired by another story?
Oh, okay, really? So, come on. No, I think it's going to be Port Vale anywhere, isn't it? As he's part of the world.
So,
we're going to chat about that and see what they're making of that, all the Port Vale fans, a little bit later on. But you asked Charlie, now mentioned...
We've had so many texts and tweets, Paul.
You've been telling us, Charlie, that in the mornings, in the mornings, you've been...
The best granola, for people who want a good granola.
You like this granola.
I like this granola. It's the Lidl.
Yeah.
Super nutty granola.
Super nutty.
Granola. Loads of nuts in it, Paul.
Yeah, well,
the granola's
super nutty.
Nice. It's super
nutty. I'd be disappointed if there wasn't.
But a lot of the time, you'll get something called super nutty granola. It'll have four nuts in it. This is plenty of nuts in the super nutty granola.
Good.
Anyway, while I'm making...
What about fruit? Is there a lot of fruit?
There's no fruit. It's nutty,
just
Paul.
Just
it's super nutty granola.
Okay.
If you want super fruit and nut granola, that's a different bag.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. It was a silly question, really.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Super nutty granola.
And you sing that every morning.
Lovely to live with, aren't I?
What are we having for breakfast? Don't start your dad off. So we were asking, Adam in Wakefield, he says, Friday morning, we sing, it's Friday morning and we're off to nursery.
Nursery.
That's what he sings to
the kids love it.
To his kids.
Because they rarely see, I'm singing all the time, but people rarely see their dad singing and stuff. That's one of the things about football, isn't it?
Yes, get the kids in a good mood.
Exactly.
When you're in the car, get them off to nursery.
When getting my daughter dressed for school, this is Chris, the Leeds fan. When getting my daughter dressed for school, to get her to stand up to pull her tights up, I religiously chant, stand up if you hate Man U, stand up if you hate Man U. This will never get boring, Chris says.
Wow.
I agree.
Wembley Steve.
Don't be doing it when she's 26. Chris, pulling her tights up for her, you know. I don't think she'll be wanting you to do it then.
Wembley Steve says, he says, every time I hear the traffic report, I find myself singing, One Woolwich Ferry, there's only one Woolwich Ferry. It's very strange,
that's
Wembley
nice.
Steve.
Very nice.
Somebody was singing to his dog, wasn't he? Oh, yeah, Stacky the Blue Nose. He said, my blue Staffy has got a random white patch. So I sing, he's got a white patch on his head. Just singing. What are the dogs
I love singing stuff to the dog. Do you love singing stuff? Do you ever sing anything to your dog?
I probably not football chants.
One thing, Paul, I've got to tell you this, actually.
Yeah.
I brought up, you know Graham the dog guy off Netflix?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely love him.
Graham the dog guy off Netflix?
He's on Netflix now as well.
Oh, is he? Right. He's on Channel 5 for
what's
a
what's his surname? Graham...
Can't remember. It'll come back to me.
Graham something.
I was told that I look a bit
you
like
look
him.
You look exactly like him.
Because a few times I've been in...
This is
I've
my
been
news.
Walking my dog and people said, it's you, isn't it?
Graham Hall. We are getting closer. We've got to get him in the studio to play Celebrity Combination Lock.
Why is this?
This would just be great to have you two in the same room.
Okay, I think shave this off first.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That would be so great. But I was discussing on my non-league podcast with my friend John, that we do the National Obsession, how he'd be such a good lower league football manager, wouldn't he? Because he's all about praising them if they do the right thing,
or
telling them off if they're doing the wrong thing, and that's how he teaches them, just to get the message across.
Do you mean somebody could go into non-league management with that clicker method?
Exactly, with the clicker method.
Yeah,
he'd be so good at it. How does he do
just
it,
walk,
Paul?
We're going to have a chat about yesterday's game. Just walk alongside me. No, walk, not in front of me. Just click, click.
Click, click, click.
Get a biscuit.
Click, click.
Give him a biscuit.
Good boy.
Yeah,
good boy. Right, in the kitchen.
Yeah.
In the kitchen.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you can...
He'd be good at it.
I don't think you can manage footballers like that. I mean, over the years... It has worked, doesn't it? It has worked, I suppose. Something very similar.
Here we are. Anyway, I don't know how we got onto that. Anyway, we're desperate to get him in before Christmas. Just as a special treat for you. Just to show people, I don't think you do look that much like him. People go, yeah, they look like each other.
It was a little bit of one time, but not. I'm not the dandy dresser he is. I haven't got that selection
of course, that cravat.
I don't own a cravat, and I haven't got that selection
tweed
of tweed.
Jacket, so brown boots.
That would do it. Yes.
Unhappy farmhand causing unrest by singing "Stand Up If You Hate Matt Manure."
Yes,
that's nice.
Sean in Salford was quite taken with the idea of a TalkSport advent calendar. We said earlier on that the good people at Angling Direct are doing a special angling one, which has got things like chemical lights or deluxe hair rigs or pike snap tackle or swivel packs or carp specimen bobbins.
Don't give them to kids, though, that advent calendar. Imagine it when they're getting...
That wouldn't be a great idea.
Full school, pulling a hook, barbed...
Don't give
10 barbed hook out their finger.
It's not for kids. the TalkSport advent calendar, surely we said there'd be an empty miniature. Alan would help us out. We'd have a little empty an empty miniature behind one. It was supposed to be full, but you can guess what happened.
Yeah.
Andy Jacobs, have a little miniature block of speciality dark chocolate worth about... It'd be worth it for that alone. It'd be a tenner's worth. Ray Partly Parlour and have a little mini USB disco light. These are all good ideas. The Moose would have a very tiny tin of tuna.
Very nice, yeah.
That's true, which you could microwave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice, Sean in Salford. Thank you very much.
Yes. My son, last one.
Yeah, my son Robbie loves a roast potato. So I sing, he's here, he's there, he loves le pomme de terre.
Well, I wonder where that was going for a minute.
When my wife was pregnant, this is anonymous, not unbelievably.
Yeah.
When my wife was pregnant, I kept singing, Laura is massive everywhere she goes.
Oh, no. That's not good for the self-esteem, is it? Charlie. Anyway,
that's nice.
If you're singing football songs in a non-football environment, we'd love to hear TalkSport, and especially around your breakfast cereal. That's fairly niche. TalkSport.com, text 1889, tweet.
Here's one more. Hi, guys. I sing when I'm cooking my eggs. Who put the eggs in the frying pan? Skip to the loo, Macari.
Oh, OK. That's a bit of a weird one.
Yeah.
And we also mentioned earlier on our producer telling us that it was one of those cases of just sending a message to the wrong person.
Yeah,
his dad sent a message to his golf coach saying, I've got us two tickets for the theatre. Destined for his missus, of course, but sent to the golf coach.
Very nice.
There must have been that couple of minutes where the golf coach is, all sorts of stuff is going through his head. I see him once. It's that bloke I see here once a week. He's invited me. What do I do? He's invited me. Can I accept them? Because he's a sort of professional. Do I want to go with him?
He swings too far. He lifts his head. He swings too fast.
The relationship. I mean, and then suddenly you get that message back. Sorry, not for you. Wrong person.
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
I'd like to say we're joined in the studio now by the former Lincoln City, Huddersfield Town and Portsmouth manager, Danny Cowley. Good afternoon, Danny.
Hello, Danny.
Good afternoon. Pleasure to be here. I listen to you guys all the time,
it's lovely to see you
in person.
I apologise. I apologise that Andy's not here. I don't really know.
thanks very much for coming in. As I said, we'll talk about your career and plans to get back in and stuff. But I'm just reading a little bit. I saw a couple of tweets from you about your daughter. She's at Chelsea. She's a good player. She's been involved in the England under 15 setup. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was a proud dad tweet. I try not to do that, but this was it was a special occasion. And yeah, she's loved football really since a young age, and it's been great to watch her progress. And she enjoys her football. She plays at Chelsea now as well, and they've just been brilliant with her and her development. And she had the opportunity to play in a UEFA development tournament and play three games, which was great fun. And they managed to win the games. And hopefully. For her to keep striving and keep trying to improve. But from a parent's point of view, it was when the national. I've seen a lot in football, and football has been really, really good to our family. And we all love the game. But to see your daughter when the national anthem come on, I actually felt myself quite emotional.
Yeah,
I just didn't expect to feel like that. So it was.
Kind of watched as she's played from a young age. You've kind of watched the attitudes and facilities and everything change kind of rapidly around women's football.
Great timing.
Unbelievable. It's been brilliant. Well, obviously I spent the first 15 years of my working life as a PE teacher, and our biggest challenge in the profession was girls' sport, because it was cool for teenage girls to look good, but the process of looking good, maybe getting hot, sweaty and muddy, wasn't so cool. And it was a really big challenge when I left the profession in 2016. It was still a huge challenge even at that time. So it's been fantastic to see the way it's progressed, and now the girls, what the England Lionesses did, just incredible. Not just their performances on the pitch, but the way they conducted themselves off the pitch. I think the legacy that they've left has been so inspiring for young girls, and now the girls actually can look up to people that are like themselves, rather than looking up. Maybe even for my daughter, when she first started, her favourite player would have been a male player.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, she's a West Ham supporter, so she really loved Declan Rice until he went to Arsenal. So now for her to look up to the women like she does, and actually now potentially to be able to have a career in a sport, it's just amazing.
Yeah, indeed. And so when you speak to people in teaching, you think that attitude has changed? You think sort of more girls are getting involved in sport because of that inspiration, and more are playing football. That's less of an attitude, that one you said earlier on, where it was trying to entice more girls into playing sport at that age when you were teaching.
Yeah, I believe so. I just look at the amount of girls that are playing sport now, and I've been lucky enough to kind of live the journey with Isabella and coach her team. So I coached her grassroots teams all the way through to a kind of it was the right time to let her to go on to Chelsea.
So were you doing that in parallel with the full time jobs in
football? Yes. So I would have coached in Lincoln, and then Isabella went to play in Notts County, and I did some coaching there. Even though I was Lincoln manager, I was coaching Notts County, I think maybe under 11s, under 12s, which was just great fun.
Wow.
And then we moved to the South Coast, and Isabella played for a team called Atalanta, and they had girls teams all the way through, and from literally under sixes all the way through to under 16s. So I had the opportunity to coach all the girls across all the age groups, and you know, for myself, I love football, and football gave me so much. And my parents actually coached mine and Nikki's teams all the way through. So my dad would have been the coach, my mum would have cut the oranges up and done all the secretarial jobs.
Would that interest you, Danny? We have coach. I mean, there's a number of male coaches in at the top level of the women's game. Is that something that would interest you potentially?
I think it's always to have the open mind. I finished my pro license last year. I actually did. You have to finish with a dissertation, and I actually finished. My dissertation was actually on, and you can imagine, I think there's been 500 people that have got their pro licence in this country, and a lot of the technical and tactical aspects of the game has been covered in great detail. So I wanted to try to do something different. So I looked at coaching the adolescent girl in comparison to coaching the adolescent boy. And, it was a piece of research I did, which was really interesting to see how the female mind works. And I think for myself, you know, I love sport, I love football, and I love working with players. And, you know, I wake up every morning with the ambition of just trying to help people to get better. Mm.
I think you can see that actually when looking at your management career from afar, and the success that you've had is that you've obviously worked at all levels of the game, and it's just absolutely in your blood. And I think that's what you bring to a team and to a football club. What do you look for in a football club to give you back?
Yeah, I think a good question. I think you're always trying to find a club that's probably self-aware enough to know where it is today, has clarity maybe over where it wants to go. And I think once you get a start point and a destination, then you can then decide whether you've got the skill set to maybe put the stepping stones in place.
Yeah.
And I think always, you know, once you understand the start point and the destination, it's then to understand from the club's perspective what they perceive to be the time frame, because we know in football you don't always get too much time, so you have to make sure that you're aligned in that way of working. But I think we've had our best successes when we've worked with good people, really. And I think for Nikki and I, it's never been a one man or a two man job. It's always been a collection of people that have the club's best interests at heart and want to work really, really hard, and hopefully want to work intelligently hard.
I suppose you do encounter unrealistic expectations maybe when you're talking to a team or a chairman or a board, and they're, you know, they say, well, this is what we want to achieve in the next 2 years, and maybe it's quite hard in an interview to say, well, that's not going to happen, that's a 5-year plan or whatever. It must be quite difficult to in that situation to be honest and say that.
I think it is, and I think probably through experience we've learned to do that. We're obviously, you know, we left Portsmouth at the beginning of this year and loved our time there. Brilliant football club with just a brilliant support base. I think in this period we've learned a lot, and to try to find alignment, I think that's what you're always looking for. You want to find a club that is aligned with your views and beliefs in the game. You know, I love football. I wake up every morning, it's the first thing I think about.
Yeah.
It's always the last thing I think about before I go to bed. And you want to find people that have that energy and that enthusiasm. And, you know, it's a great job, because you get to wake up every morning, you get to help players get better and improve and develop, but you also get to work in an organisation that you know means so much to so many people.
Yeah.
And that to me is so inspiring. And, you know, I left a teaching profession that I absolutely loved. I loved waking up every morning and working with children and working in sport. And it would you know, it would have only been for football that I would have left. Yeah. But I've thoroughly enjoyed the time. I've, you know, I think 15 years now I've been a manager, yeah, either at part-time or at full-time level. Yeah. So, yeah, miss it every day and just looking forward to the next opportunity.
There were stories a couple of weeks ago that the Bradford City job was yours, but really due to geography as much as anything. There's all sorts of reasons why you don't maybe take a job, but was that just a bit of too far from home? Was that wider than mark, that stuff, or was that true?
No, I think we spoke with Bradford City. It's a great club with some really good people. It's obviously an unbelievable support base. Yeah. Yeah. Support base that should never ever be in League Two. I mean, I think it does say a lot about our football pyramid, by the way. I mean, you know, where else in world football would you see 20,000 people at a step four, what is really a step four game?
Yeah.
So yeah, brilliant football club. We did speak to them. We did get quite a long way down the line with them, but it just didn't feel that it was the right opportunity for us at the moment. I think, you know, we certainly wish them well. And I think in Graham Alexander, they've made a really shrewd appointment, experienced manager. Obviously had an unbelievable playing career, got the very, very most out of his playing career. And I watched them play Saturday, actually, against Notts County, because it was the early kickoff. And yeah, they had a really tough first half.
A terrible first half, didn't they? Four nil at half time, wasn't it?
Yes,
that game?
Yeah. Notts County are in a really good moment, obviously off the back of the promotion. Luke Williams, a young coach, very good, fantastic, and they were in real rhythm in the first half. But Graham Alexander would have got into them at half time and certainly got a response out of them second half, and it was a much better performance from them. So yeah, for us, we certainly wish them well.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Danny Cowley's with us, former Lincoln, Huddersfield and Portsmouth manager. A lot of love coming in for Danny. A lot of fans of other clubs. I won't mention the clubs, I'll spare the blessing. Danny fancy coming to us.
Yeah.
Many of which have already got managers, so we won't be doing that.
Yeah.
But it felt like a fairly meteoric rise, Danny, because you kind of clearly paid your dues in coaching and worked in teaching, but it was that cup run with Lincoln, wasn't it? Where suddenly the amount of sort of press coverage that you and your brother Nicky were getting around that was pretty immense, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a special time. It kind of everything aligned, and yeah, we had a really successful season. We were obviously doing really, really well in the league, and I think the ambition would been at Braintree the season before, which was a part-time team in what was a full-time league, really, in the National League. We managed to finish third with just the best group of players. And, you know, it'd always been our dream and ambition to be involved in professional football. We come up a little bit short as players, and you think the opportunity is gone. And then from nowhere, really, sort of March, April of that Braintree season, people sort of suggested that there might be an opportunity. And, yeah, we ended up going to Lincoln and, yeah, had really good success. We did well in the FA Cup. Obviously, had a wonderful time. Got to the third round, which was kind of our ambition as a National League team, because you come in the fourth qualifying round. Yeah. We drew Ipswich. We were 2-1 up against Ipswich away from home with a minute to go. And Tom Lawrence, I don't know if you remember him, brilliant player. He scored an equaliser, and you think the opportunity's gone. And then we actually had the replay, and the replay was on television, which again helped us financially. And yeah, we managed to beat Ipswich in the last minute, which was just Nathan Arnold scored a goal, just a great moment. And then beat Brighton and beat Burnley away, and then that set us up into the quarterfinals against Arsenal. So it was we had the one show, and I don't know.
Yeah. Well, football's all about stories. A lot of the time, football's about
especially
stories,
FA
isn't it?
Yeah.
And you and your brother working together is a great story. You know, the proclaimers of football. You know, do you feel like working with your brother has been a blessing? Or do you feel cursed by that sometimes?
I get asked this question a lot, and I think we have quite a unique relationship. You know, from a really young age, I was 3 years older than him, though I don't look it. but I think he would always play football with my friends, would play cricket in the street, whatever it might be. So we always lived in one another's pockets, and we always had similar interests. And I think, you know, we actually taught together. So we taught at a school, Fitzwymart School in Rayleigh, Essex. And we were lucky enough in 2013 to become State Sports School of the Year. Had a brilliant time there. And we just had, I kind of had that telepathy and that understanding of each other. And we always know where one another's going. And I think, you know, ultimately I'm a little bit older. So Nicky played for me at Concord Rangers for the first 6 years of my management career. Have you?
Not even the biggest club on Canvey Island.
Well, no, not it is now. It wasn't at the time we took over. No, it was literally a sport and social club, Concord Rangers. And I can remember Anthony Smith, the chairman, I begged him to get rid of that sport and social bit because I wanted us to be a football club. And we managed to have three promotions, got to the Conference South. And Nicky played all the way through. And I think he scored 27 goals in our first season. Great. So he certainly helped my managerial career in the beginning. We've done a lot better since he's retired. So I don't know if that makes him a not very good player or a brilliant coach. I'll leave that for you to decide. But but no, we've got a unique relationship, and it's one that that works for us. And I think I'm a little bit older, so I'm ultimately the manager, and he's the assistant manager. But ultimately, I think because of the nature of our journey, when you're at the smaller clubs, you know, you get used to doing all of the different jobs, and you know, whether it's, you know, the sports science, the analysis, even washing the kit, which is bits we had to do at Concord Rangers. So it's held us in good stead, and certainly having lived those roles, then it enables you to work better with, now you're in a position where you have people that, you know, you have such an unbelievable support network now at some of these clubs.
Does Nicky have ambitions to manage himself? Has he voiced that to you? Has he nearly gone off and done his thing? Or?
No, I think for us it's a relationship that's really worked, and we've been able to have a lot of success, and I couldn't imagine managing without him. You'd have to ask him if he feels the same. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, news is coming in.
He's the new Bradford manager. Yeah.
Hang on. Tell me not to take it.
Now, you left kind of after that great time at Lincoln, you left on your own terms and went to Huddersfield and Pompey. And it's a fact of life in management that you know, you weren't able to leave those jobs as you would have liked to have done. So I'm sure you learn as much. You probably learn more from it not going right as you do from it all going swimmingly, don't you?
Absolutely. Huddersfield was just the best experience. I think we took over a club that was in a relegation battle. I think they had 1 point after 9 games, and you know, we they'd actually only won one game in 37 because they'd had a real difficult run in the Premier League, and then obviously the difficult start to the Championship season. And I learned so much, especially, you know, working with that quality of player, working with the amount of staff that we had, also in terms of the coaches that you're coaching against. You know, I had the opportunity to manage against Marcelo Bielsa, who's just a football genius, and wow, got absolute football education in front of about 40,000 people at Ellen Road, which was brilliant. And
if you're not winning, you're learning.
Yes.
Absolutely. And it was, and the fact that was a local derby made it even tougher. But it was great, honestly, a great experience. One, I even though we lost the game, I really enjoyed. And I think we managed to keep Huddersfield up. I think we beat West Brom, who were trying to get promoted, stayed in the division. And then unfortunately, we were relieved of our duties, which was tough to take because we didn't quite see it coming. But this is football, and you have two choices. I think you either get bitter or you try to get better. And our lives had been such a roller coaster up to that point because we'd obviously had the experience, left teaching, had the experience at Lincoln, went straight into Huddersfield mid-season, so it gave us an opportunity to reflect and learn. And then we took the Portsmouth job, and wow, Portsmouth, just a brilliant club, so well supported. Honestly, those supporters, it's so passionate. And Fratton Park, I mean, I'm a football romantic, but to manage at Fratton Park,
it's a great old ground.
It's such a special place. Proper. Such a special place. And the supporters, wow, that Fratton end when they get behind you, incredible. And I'm so pleased to see them doing as well as they're doing now. I'd like to think we left them in a better place than we found them. Ultimately, I think we got sacked January 1st, 2023, but 2022, I think we'd only lost once at home in the league in 26 games at home, and we just drew too many games. And probably we were top in middle to end of October. And from there, we had some key injuries and just couldn't find the right solutions.
Timing,
a couple of times, I think same sort of thing happened at Huddersfield. You have a good start and, you know, your manager of the month and all that, and then you have a run of games and it doesn't go well. Do you think, I mean, I'm not saying in your situation, but you think sometimes clubs are a bit too quick to pull the trigger around managers? You know, they don't see the big picture. They make a call too early.
Yeah, I think sometimes definitely. I look at the role, and I've lived both ends of it. So you know when things are going well, like they did at Lincoln, we got a lot of the plaudits and a lot of credit for that. And to me, it's always the players' game. So it's always the players. It's your job to support and help the players, and I think, you know, trying to build a connection with them to make them feel good so that they can play at their best. That is, you know, you try to find a way of playing that suits them and helps them to be successful. But the successes, I always think, is down to them. Now, when you lose and it doesn't go so well, the flip side of that is that the head coach or the manager gets a lot of criticism. And it's an emotional industry, isn't it? And we live in a world of social media where this emotion gets magnified, and the supporter has a bigger and a bigger opinion, probably more now than ever. Yeah.
More of a platform now. More than just singing a song on a Saturday, they've got a platform.
Which, by the way, is brilliant, because if we didn't have Football Opinion, what else would we talk about?
The clubs belong to the fans, you know.
Absolutely, you know, absolutely. And for us, you know, as West Ham supporters, we know that more than anyone. Yeah. But certainly living what we did at Lincoln and Huddersfield and Portsmouth, you know, the great thing about all of those clubs, and particularly a lot of the lower league clubs, is that there's a big difference to me between being a supporter and a spectator. Sometimes in the Premier League now, I see a lot of spectators, and it's almost like they turn up to the games.
Yeah.
And I don't know, they almost expect us to see a level of performance. And whereas for me, I believe the supporter can actually impact and influence the game, and that's what defines or what is the difference between the
jobs you've done. You know, those fan bases are massive and vocal.
We would never have achieved the success that we did at Lincoln without their support and the way that the way their supporters drove the players' energy and enthusiasm. And yeah, I do believe that coaches need more time. I don't know, like in my mind, I don't know if this is possible, but we had the transfer windows. Maybe clubs can't sack coaches outside transfer windows.
There's been talk of that before.
I don't know. Just something, not just for the benefit of the coaches, but for the players and for the clubs.
Yeah.
Because, you know, so many times we see these fantastic businessmen take over football clubs that have obviously got huge business acumen, because they wouldn't own a football club if they didn't have. But yet they get involved in football and they get caught up with the emotion of the game.
Yeah.
And just start, all the business acumen seems to go out the window, and they just start to make decisions on emotion. And I'm not sure this is good for the longevity of any football club. And you look at clubs, and you look at clubs that have had sustained success. I think they're all built on a base of stability.
Yeah.
And to do that, you can't make too much change.
Well, we saw with Steve Cooper last year, and I think it has paid off, isn't it? That everybody was thinking he could lose his job, which would have been incredibly unfair, but the chairman said no. You know, gave him a new contract, stuck by him, and you know, it proved to be the right call.
Absolutely, and I think there's many stories like Steve's, you know, even at West Ham, David Moyes, who's done a brilliant job year after year. Even he come under criticism probably midway through last season.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's difficult. Sometimes the easiest way to get the sack in football is to overachieve, right?
Yeah,
because then I think you increase the expectation, and it's difficult to
Claudio Ranieri won the league.
Yeah,
6 months later, out of work.
Well, Del Bosque is the one, isn't it? European Cup and got the sack at Real Madrid. Just finally, Danny. So you and
there's me feeling sorry for
you. Yeah, you and Nicky have been out for what, about 9-10 months now. So you're obviously looking to get back in. But so I suppose everything sort of has to be right from your point of view and the club's point of view. But imagine you have to kind of keep on top of it. I remember when Roy Hodgson was out of work, he would meet with Ray Lewington. They'd sort of meet and sit there with the pepper pots in a cafe every Friday and talk about football, keep it relevant. So when an opportunity did come up, they were right across it. I'm sure you and Nicky are no different, because you could go into an interview tomorrow and that chairman or whoever expects you to be on it know about his team and what you're going to do with it.
Absolutely, yeah. For Nicky and I, kind of, we've I suppose we spent 35 of our first 40 years on this planet in education to some form, so we kind of live by timetables. So to wake up on the 2nd of January without a job and no structure is really, really different for us. So yeah, for us, we get up early, we go to the gym, try to start the day well, and then yeah, we just study the game. We love the game, and we're always trying to learn. So you know, watching people, I've loved watching Roberto Di Serbia this year and Brighton and what he's done there.
Yeah, incredible.
I mean, I'm a West Ham supporter, so I don't like Tottenham. My wife supports Tottenham, so I despise Tottenham. But Ange Postecoglou, wow, what a brilliant communicator. And
was he really in for the Huddersfield job when you got it? There's some rumour out there that you got it instead of him.
What a terrible decision they made that day. But I'm not sure, but wow. Yeah. In terms of just his communication skills, just the way he strips
you
back.
You got that, Danny. You're sitting here, you're very honest, you're open. Obviously, fans texting in by their droves from clubs you've been at, absolutely loving you, wanting you to come back. So you've got that, and you know, you're a positive for football. It's really nice to meet you. It's been great.
That's really kind of
lovely to see
you.
We wish you well.
Thank you very much,
Nicky,
guys.
Getting back
it's
in
been
soon.
A pleasure.
I've written down a team on a piece of paper that when we're off there, I'm going to show it to Danny and think that's where he's going to end up.
Well,
next.
On your way out, the news, our sports news reader, here he comes now. He's hanging about outside. He's a Woking fan.
He's better than that.
He wants to have a chat with you.
He's better than Tim Pop Woking.
The Hawksby and Jacob's Daily Podcast.
Wales take on Turkey this evening in Cardiff. The math's pretty simple. Turkey lead the group with 16 points. Croatia are second with 13. Wales, after that disappointing 1-1 draw with Armenia at the weekend, are on 11. That means if Wales beat Turkey tonight I think
Armenia win.
Croatia drop points against Armenia, then they will get the automatic slot. Otherwise, it's a playoff. Guaranteed.
Looking
playoff.
Like a playoff, isn't it?
It is looking like a playoff. Turkey are a good side, and you would expect Croatia at home to get the job done. But football's a funny old game.
It is indeed.
Greasy once told us. And joining us now to chat about it, a Wales regular, though I understand, first game he's missing for the first time in a long time tonight.
Right, okay.
We spoke to him, of course, during the World Cup when he went following the team. It is comedian Rod Woodward. Good afternoon, Rod.
Hi, Rod.
Hey guys, how are you doing?
Yeah, good,
yes,
thank you.
We are. So what, are you working tonight instead?
I am, would you believe, I'm almost ashamed to say it, but this has been a long-standing thing, and I'm heading up north to MC the National Potato Awards, you know, so I've
lovely.
Obviously got my priorities right.
Hang on, let's back up a bit. The National Potato Awards.
Good, sounds a nice gig.
Exactly. You know, it's just, I knew this is the one gig I've been trying to get all the years since I started, and it's finally come in.
Fantastic.
And, you know, just unfortunately, it clashes with a Wales game, and a big one at that.
Comedy is it? Is it a roast?
Hey! Wow. So
there's an opening line.
Hey, you got that now?
Well, we're going to go down a potato rabbit hole, if that makes sense. So you have growing manager of the year.
Oh, lovely, yeah.
Best innovation in the world of potatoes.
Okay. Yeah.
Best environmental/sustainability initiative. Best marketing work campaign. Machinery and implements. Agronomy. What a band they are. Hescott Meredith Memorial. Best young achiever.
Quite a lot.
Hal Robson Kanu is our link to the potato world, isn't he? He's married into the Albert Bartlett family.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Hal will be there tonight. And an ex-Wales player is perfect, Rod.
I get the impression I know where he's going to be, but yeah. I just feel like you've done all the work for me. All I'm hoping is that the people who are going to be at the awards haven't been listening to the Hawksby and Jacob show because they're going to know my first 10 minutes.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. The good thing about great potato farmers is they're all outstanding in their field.
Oh, come on. Rod, you can't write these down. We should have workshop. We should have had an hour with you, Rod, before the show tonight. See what we could come up with.
You know what? This was worth pulling into the hard shoulder
for. So, how hopeful are you? I mean, you're kind of behind the eight ball a bit tonight because Turkey are a good side.
It's doable. Very good side. Yeah. I mean, my. Initially, I was thinking, you know, perhaps they'd be on the beach. But then we know, even though they've qualified, one more point and they finish top of the group. And I just feel that you realistically can't see Croatia giving anything up at home. So it's got playoffs written all over it.
Yeah, and the playoffs. The way it works these days is you kind of know you've got, don't you? So you're gonna. It would be either Finland, Ukraine, or Iceland in a home playoff semi-final, with Poland and Estonia waiting in the final. Or
well, I certainly fancy the home semi, and you know we've done it in a playoff before to get the World Cup. So I mean we've managed to shake off the monkey that just not qualifying all those years. Look, anything could happen now, and it's nervy. And the only worry is where's the next goal going to come from? I mean, Harry Wilson's got the last three goals in the home wins that we've had, and you know I think we've been worked out up front a little bit. You know, the keeper Moore thing just didn't look good the other day. I think top coaches have worked it out, and they're going to need a lot of energy and a lot of zip. I think the likes of Dan James and Brennan Johnson could potentially make the difference if they can bring the A game.
I've been impressed with Brennan Johnson. Since I've seen him a bit more in the flesh at Tottenham, but sadly not as much because he's been pretty much injury hit. But I think he looks a really good player. I'm very excited as a Tottenham fan to see what he can do, and you know he could be big for you tonight.
Absolutely. I think the best is yet to come from him. He's growing in confidence all the time, and I really think Wales are going to have a player on their hands there in Brennan Johnson eventually. But, yeah, I just feel that the depth is not there. They're bringing Lockyer in. Obviously, Metham's out due to suspension. So he hasn't played for a couple of years for Wales. So I think we're going to be up against it. That's what the realist in me tells me.
Well, I'm sure you'll be keeping an eye on the score in between handing out the awards. So
absolutely,
yeah.
To the detriment of the awards, it could all go fair.
The last 10 minutes, he seemed very angry. Last 10 minutes, right?
There he is.
He was funny. He was the best really host we'd ever had. Last 10 minutes, though, he started having a pop at people. Started throwing spuds. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Oh dear, it won't happen. Anyway, while we got you on, Rod, we're going to play Celebrity Combination Lock. So anyway, let's bring in the intro.
Here we go.
Celebrity Combination Lock with your hosts, Paul Hawksby and lock keeper, Charlie Baker.
Yes, Celebrity Combination Lock. We have a combination lock. We can't open it. It's as simple as that. Our assistant producer's fetid gym kit is getting worse, getting ranker by the minute.
Stinking out of the office.
So we need to open that lock.
He's put on 8 stones. He can't go to the gym anymore.
Exactly. That's not helping either. Tom Rosenthal, actor and comedian, last week did brilliantly. He got two correct numbers, two in the correct place.
Very
so as
good.
I give you what Tom got, that'll give you an idea that two of these numbers are correct, Rod, and two are in the correct place. So the numbers Tom went with were 9100. 9100. Two of those numbers are correct. Two are in the correct place. So let's have your four numbers, please, Rod.
Right. Okay. I've thrown this over to my wife. I'm working on the assumption that, you know, obviously Wales being the home of Carol Vorderman, and my wife's a pretty good mathematician as well. I'm hoping she's got this. I'm hugely confident. You know.
Here we go. Good.
It's 5194. That's what we've come up with.
5194. Okay. Let's see.
Let's put those in.
Let's get the numbers from Colin, of course.
Five.
He's never going to live this down, guys, you know.
One.
One, yeah.
Yeah.
Nine.
Lovely, yeah.
Four.
Okay,
four.
Yeah. Here we go.
Oh, hang on. Music's coming.
5194.
5194. Here we go. 4-5-1.
I think it may have given it away a little bit.
Nine.
Music coming in, but let's find out.
Let's see. Is it?
Oh!
Oh, look, let's find
so
out.
Close.
Let's find out from Colin how many.
I don't know the number, so I don't know I'm saying so close.
How many were correct, Colin?
Two.
Two.
Two. And how many in the correct place?
One.
Oh, well, it narrows it down now.
No.
She's good now.
She's had a nightmare.
She's had a mare.
Had a nightmare,
if anything, she's done worse.
I'm telling you guys, this program is nothing but bad luck for her. The last time I was being interviewed on this show, she fell through our decking whilst I was being interviewed, if you remember.
Oh dear. Well, do apologise on our behalf.
There we go.
And I remember you asking me, Paul. You said, you know, what would have happened, you know, if it had actually happened whilst you were on air? It was like a minute before you know, and I said to you, she'd have understood, but she let me know afterwards that
she wouldn't have done.
She certainly wouldn't have understood.
Well, give our love to everybody in the potato industry tonight, Ron. Yeah. Hope it goes well.
You've had your chips, all those.
Yes,
there you go. Wear a jacket.
Wear a jacket. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No jacket required. There you go. That's what it is.
That's it. Okay, Charlie. Yeah, let it go, Charlie.
Any more?
He's writing these down.
I'm pitching for next year's gig.
Cheers, Rod.
Cheers, Rod.
All the best. Take care. Thanks.
There we are. Rod Woodward there, Mrs. Woodward. Heading off to the National Potato Awards. Everybody going tonight?
That'd be magic.
Enjoy.
That'd be lovely.
Yeah.
It'd be great. It'd be a great night.
Do they say if you like whether you have rice or chips or rice or potato? Because anybody says rice, they immediately get set.
Sent out.
Rice! Get out!
It's the trick question. You're out of the potato gang.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. I'll reconvene with Andy tomorrow. And Charlie, you're back Thursday
for
the spread and all that.
Spread, all that stuff. Lovely.
So, hope you can listen from one tomorrow. If not, the podcast is always available at 4. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.